Bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Into the Bet the Board podcast. It is a bit of a somber Week 17 affair here on December 29th. The final podcast of the NFL regular season, the final Bet the Board podcast of 2016. Payne, I almost need a shoulder to cry on because we put this year to bed after this.
It's been a long road. We got a couple podcasts left. Playoffs, we got to finish strong just like we did last year. So I'm looking forward to it.
Long, strange trip it's been, no doubt about it. And, of course, for those folks who are fully immersed in bowl games, we recorded a Bet the Board Bowl extravaganza with special guest Clay Travis on Wednesday. Encourage all you folks to check that out. Offer some feedback like you always do. Again, available at bettheboardpodcast.com. If you're already subscribed on SoundCloud or iTunes, that came right to your desktop so you had a chance to listen. Get you geared up for the biggest games on the board. Today's podcast, Payne, we'll talk about some Week 17 strategies and philosophies, share our take on injuries, teams that may be sitting and or resting players, the big game breakdown, the Lions and Packers brought to you courtesy of the American Gaming Association. As always, a special thanks to our parent sponsor, BetOnline. But before we get there, for all of our listeners, if you haven't already checked out the great promotion at Don Best, encourage you to do so. Don Best Mobile. DonBest.com/BetTheBoard, a special promotion for all your real-time line updates straight to your mobile phone throughout the holiday season and beyond, whether it's college basketball, baseball, NFL, college football, every sport, you name it, the biggest sports books right there, both Vegas and offshore, a tool that no sports bettor who wants to take his or her game to the next level should be without. I know I have it up on my mobile in pain. You have the Don Best app currently loaded, I'm sure, on your desktop there in the home office.
Without question, I think if you listen to the college edition of Bet the Board, I was alerted that from one of our listeners, they said, who is that woman that keeps speaking on the podcast? Steam move. Line alert. And that was actually my Don Best screen that was up during yesterday's recording. So it's true. I use it. I think there's a lot of things that we've talked about this. You know, if I can make money, I'll probably sponsor anything. But the reality is, you know, we're looking for stuff that we actually use. And Don Best is one of those things, you know, along with vodka, things like that. Wet wipes. That's another key for me as well.
It is week 17. It's the end of the regular season. We have other podcasts, but I wasn't sure if you were going on a full sponsorship kick or looking to endorse every product under the sun right now. I mean, we can break this out over the next couple weeks if we want.
Tito's, Green Juice, Don Best, Smart Water, and Wet Wipes. Wet Wipes are key, and for those listening at home, they're all shaking their head yes, because every guy's now on the Wet Wipe kick. But the key is you go non-scented, so it doesn't, you know.
This is what happens when we don't have a full slate of football games to talk about with larger limits and everything else. These are the tangents that our listeners can expect from both you and myself.
Well, what's the key here? Do we want to talk about something that's like tangible that they can use for Week 17?
I mean, I think you offering valuable life advice, it definitely makes a whole lot of sense. I feel like we can talk about New Year's Eve etiquette potentially. I mean, there are a number of ways we can go on this podcast, kind of using football as the common unifying theme, but take a number of tangential stories, offer things that people can take with them, not only to the betting window on Sunday, but also into the new year.
We have a largely male audience. I was trying to give them a tip because the first time you get into the wet wipes, you accidentally go scented. And it leaves you kind of dry. So that's the key. Go non-scented with the wet wipes. But as something that you can use for this week, week 17, power numbers. Throw them out the window. They're as good as, you know, probably your ex, Todd. You just kind of kick them to the curb. Power numbers,
hey,
your ex, straight to the curb.
I have a symbiotic relationship with most of the women I've dated. I don't just discard them like a used wet wipe, all right? So okay. the power numbers we can kick to the corner, but I don't want this reputation following me around, Payne. You're going to tarnish my good name.
You are the good guy. You are the nice guy.
I mean, someone's got to be a nice guy in this podcast, right?
I think they all know by now.
All right. Yeah, well, we'll see about that. We're not going to put up a poll anytime soon about who do you think the nice guy is on the Bet the Board podcast. I don't think that'll go anywhere. Quite frankly, I'm not sure if my self-esteem can handle it if you win in a landslide like 85 to 15.
Oh, it would be much like election. I think everybody would, you know, think one thing and they'd be in for the shock.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. Much like the election, so you would win the Electoral College and I'd win the popular vote or vice versa?
I'd win the one that matters.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you feel so confident there. You know, who knows? Maybe if we get a little bored on the Bet the Board pod Twitter feed, we can throw out a few ridiculous questions over the course of the weekend as we start to distract people from the calm before the storm that is the NFL playoffs, where we'll really ratchet things into high gear. Wanted to get your take, Payne, though, on what we saw NFL Week 16. Not only were playoff seeds sealed up, especially for your beloved Dolphins, but we saw some major injuries that could have lingering effects as we get into the postseason.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing is my Dolphins. So what Adam Gase did there, if you really break down this Dolphins team, and again, people will think I'm a homer, but when you put this into what truly happened out there, the Dolphins were down two starting safeties. One's a pro bowler. They were down a starting corner. They're down two starting linebackers. They're down their center, probably the most important position in all of NFL aside from a quarterback. And then they're down their starting quarterback. And they go in to a hostile environment against a hated rival. Rex Ryan's job is on the line. It's a must-win game. Technically, the Bills were not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. That's how big of a game it was. And I think Adam Gase is going to get shafted here. He should be the coach of the year without question when you look at this roster, a much thinner roster, a less talented roster than even the last 2 years the Dolphins have had. And I guess I'll throw this back to you and I'm going to propose this. And you don't need to make me feel warm and cozy. But if you excluded Bill Belichick, who would you hire right now as your NFL coach?
I'm definitely going to make a strong case for Adam Gase, and not only because what he's been able to do this year with the Dolphins. I think this surprise, you know, 10-5, most likely what'll finish a 10-6 regular season, really took all of us by storm. But go back to last year and everything he meant for Jay Cutler's development to get a quarterback that nobody else has really been able to handle playing at such a high level. I think it's really eye-opening for what Gase has done, and he's asserted himself as that top-tier coach. I don't think, obviously, Payne, we can put him in the same breath as Bill Belichick until he wins multiple Super Bowls, but when you look at the landscape of the NFL, so many franchises, trying to figure out who's going to be that guy to take them into that next level. Gase clearly at the top of the list, and once he established that culture of accountability down there in South Florida, I really think the sky becomes the limit for the Dolphins. If they draft well, they acquire a few pieces, and more importantly, they can stay healthy from top to bottom.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You usually need a solid front office, a stable front office, a GM that's kind of on the same page with its owner, and oddly, you know, the Dolphins really haven't had that, and I'm not so certain they do now. Adam Ross is, you know, Stephen Ross is brilliant. He's a billionaire. It's not by surprise. He kind of let some of the football guys make hires in the past, and you end up with Joe Philbin. He decided to use his business acumen, and he really liked Adam Gase. But Adam Gase, it's shocking that a coach can change the culture of an organization. And that's really been the case here. So Adam Gase done more than what you've seen on the field. He's really changed the entire thought process of that Dolphins organization, and it's just crazy to see.
When we look at some of the other playoff teams, which we'll obviously discuss in greater detail on next week's podcast, who are some of the other bigger surprises that we saw this season? I don't think any of us obviously expected Dallas to be in the postseason, let alone the number one overall seed in the NFC. But maybe other teams that we didn't quite think were going to be here and or relevant this late in the season.
I think you probably have to look at the Atlanta Falcons. I know there is a lot of sharp guys looking at that team going under their win total to start the season. Kyle Shanahan, what he's done for that organization, what he's done for that offense, he's really resurrected. Matt Ryan, I know we were kind of busting chops. You look at some of the preseason stuff, the Falcons didn't look that great, especially in the Miami game. You look at a lot of, you know, social media now. You can find anything on there. We saw videos in the preseason, Matt Ryan's being picked off by defensive coordinators, special teams coaches, and you're like, Jesus, this could be a tough year. And we didn't expect that precipitous drop from Carolina, but I think you have to praise Atlanta. And not a must-win game this week. They're going to make the playoffs regardless, but you win this game, you can control most of your destiny and host a playoff game and get a bye week. So I think you got to look at the Atlanta Falcons.
Do we give Bill O'Brien any credit for the way he's handled the situation in Houston? Again, starting quarterback conundrum. Clearly, this Texans team isn't capable of making a deep run with Tom Savage or Brock Osweiler there. But almost doing more with less, despite some of the metrics that suggest the Texans probably aren't better than a 6-10 football team.
I like Bill O'Brien. I always have. The division helps. Let's paint this how it is. You know, you're dealing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're dealing with a Colts GM that hasn't drafted properly in God knows how long. Tennessee made a nice ascend this season, but they're a year away. So that's really what's, I guess, what the Houston Texans have been dealing with. It's the NFL. All the games are tough. He's going to win the division again. They're handling business at home, 7-1 this season. But when you look at them, they're minus 42 in points differential. There has been some injuries on the defensive side of the ball. He's going to win games. He's won his division. Hat tip to that. But the AFC South is just a mess.
And that's a team that will clearly have their hands full in their opening playoff game during Wild Card Weekend. Whether it is the Kansas City Chiefs, the Oakland Raiders,
are they a dog?
They have to be a dog. There's no scenario in my mind when you watch that number last week against the Bengals on the outside looking in and see them close a 3-point favorite. That number was down to a pick. I think they have to be a home underdog. The real question is, will you have the potential to grab them, you know, over a field goal? I think that's probably rich. So a lot of things that we've talked about, Payne. Power numbers suggest one thing. Matchups are going to tell a very different story this postseason, given the fact that so many of these teams really have one or two different matchups that they can look to exploit. So I think when we're talking about numbers, it's going to give guys like yourself and me ample opportunity to try and take full advantage. So, of course, we'll get to those. The injuries, the last thing that I wanted to cover. Week 16, we saw a lot of key contributors go down to a number of broken legs. Marcus Mariota going to be shelved for quite some time. Hopefully we see him back on the field at the beginning of training camp in August. Derek Carr goes down with that broken leg as well. Talked that if the Raiders were somehow to navigate through the AFC, he might be available. In the Super Bowl, I don't quite think you'd go to Carr anyways. If Matt McGloin can go into Foxborough and win, knock off the Steelers. Tyler Lockett, done for the year as well in Seattle. I mean, just I don't remember a weekend where so many key contributors on teams that had postseason aspirations going down at the same time.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Titans' ship kind of sunk before that injury. They just, I'm surprised they didn't come out very motivated, but that's a tough one. It looks like he will be back in time for training camp. In terms of Marcus Mariota, that was the full break of the fibula. They're saying, 4 to 5 months, something along those lines. Derek Carr, just the fracture. They're saying 4 to 6 weeks there. The downgrade to Matt McGloin, and I'm the biggest Matt McGloin guy. He's won me more preseason games than any quarterback that I can envision, so I have a soft place in my heart for him. But you're looking probably 4, 4.5, maybe even 5 points. In terms of a downgrade there. And I think it's not so much what you see talent-wise, but Derek Carr has really become the leader of that team. They look at him as a motivational key. When things are going down, he always seems to have his head up. He's the motivator. They look at him to lead. So that's a big loss from that perspective for the Oakland Raiders.
Time to welcome in our weekly contributor, Dave Mason, hopefully fresh off enjoying a holiday weekend somewhere on a beach. You can follow Dave on Twitter at Dave Mason BOL. And Dave, I have to ask you about the college ranks, because I know the NFL season has been a bit tricky for sports books, not only at your shop, but here in Vegas. I have to imagine, as we sit and look at this recent run of bowl underdogs, not only covering, but winning outright, it is no longer a doom and gloom prognosis around the shop.
Now, college has been good. I mean, it was a really good season for us for college. Like, as we talk about every week, NFL has been a little frustrating from the book side of things. But college was a really good season, and especially these bowls have been great. The action has been great, and the results have been great. So there's no complaints there. It's kind of like we were talking about last week, you know, when I was bitching and moaning about another NFL loser, you know, but I did say, you know, that the light at the end of the tunnel is, you know, first of all, the players are winning. They're going to win here and there. You know, they're going to have these great runs, but also that, you know, people have money in their accounts. They're betting other things. They're betting the college, especially the bowl. So it's not sure we're getting waxed. We were getting waxed in NFL, but you get it back in other ways. In college basketball, the action's been up. NBA's the action's been up. And in the college bowl, the action's been really good, and the results have been falling our way. So you give it out, you get it back, you give it out, you get it back. So, you know, that's just the reality of this business.
Hey, it's much easier to swing at the man when you're playing with the man's money when it comes to bowl games, three or four.
That's right.
Over the course of a day. And before we get into the start of the NFL, obviously the two biggest bowl games taking place on Saturday, the college football semifinals. What have you guys seen on the action? When we watch the market, we know there's been some sharp money on Washington. But what's the handle look like for Alabama, Washington, and then, of course, the nightcap between Ohio State and Clemson?
Yeah, Bama's the big play. Even though the sharps are on Washington at plus 14 and above, that's down to – plus 13.5, but yeah, that all the about 75% of the money is on Alabama. The other game, Clemson, is getting majority of the action. About 58% of the money's on Clemson, plus 3.5. But yeah, Alabama's gonna be the biggest sweat so far. As of now, there's more money on the Bama spread than the other three teams combined, so that'll be the big game.
Dave, as we transition to week 17, I know we just finished our college podcast yesterday, but this is what we're here for. Just break it down a little bit for our listeners. How difficult from a book perspective is it to
steam play
book week 17, the uncertainty surrounding it?
Yeah, I mean, it is. You know, I was talking to our headlines guy this morning, and he came out with a good quote. It's pretty much a glorified preseason games. They're tough. You know, you guys got benched. Half these teams are on vacation already. So, yeah, I mean, you look at this betting board and so many of these games really don't matter. Or you got one team that's fighting for their life and the other team who's on vacation, or, you know, very few of these games matter for both teams. So it's challenging. What we do, you know, as of now, there's only one game where there's not circled, and that's the Green Bay versus Detroit game. You can bet up to $25,000 a pop right now on that spread. All the other games are circled at $5,000, and usually on Thursdays we take those circles off, and they can go up to $25,000 a pop. But we're going to keep those circles on the other games until Saturday. And but again, we have that rebet functionality, so if you want to bet $25,000 on it, you can just keep it at $5,000 a pop every minute. So yeah, that's one thing we do, and you know, it just the action isn't as good on week 17.
What does that look like? What does that look like in terms of like uncertainty? We know it slows down the handle, as you alluded to, but paint the picture for our listeners. What does that look like? You know, a Tuesday baseball game? Does that look like a regular, you know, a Sun Belt basketball game? What does the handle
right
look like on these NFL games?
Probably a NBA game, a decent NBA game, a good NBA game. Again, some of these games, the action on the Packers line is going to be huge, but the Cardinals versus the Rams, it's going to be a non-televised NBA game, probably non-nationally televised NBA game. So it's going to be all across, you know, you're going to get great, and that will increase the action on the Packers lines too. People aren't getting down on the Bears Vikings and or numerous games a day, so they're going to put more money on the Packers lines that night or a couple of the other games. So overall, the action is going to be down. But, you know, we got the college bowl game that's going to help the college bowl game action too. So like you said, it all evens out in the end. You know, it goes down here, but it goes up on college bowls. And that Sunday night NFL game, the action is going to be awesome on those, but the action is going to be down on some of these god-awful NFL games on Sunday.
It's always funny, Payne, because we talk about it. You know, some of the recreational bettors, they may have $100 to bet on a given Sunday, and they'll break that out over 10 games to have their action. But as Dave mentions, if there's only one game worth their fancy, all of a sudden they have a 10-unit play on the only meaningful game taking place on Sunday between the Packers and Lions. And Dave, you mentioned that game. We're seeing early indications that this could be one of the book's biggest decisions, not only of week 17, but maybe the entire season, given the Packers' resurgency. What are you guys seeing right now with the number hovering between 3 and 3.5?
Yeah, it's lopsided. It's going to be huge. 83% of the action so far is on the Packers. So, you know, like you said, that's the end of the weekend. And not only is it the biggest game by far, but it's the last game of the weekend. So everybody's – the winners are going to be doubling down, and the loser is going to be chasing their bet. So that's going
to
be huge.
Well, if you guys need to offset some of that liability, feel free to go to, you know, what do you think, Payne? 4.5, 5, maybe a 6 gets us involved there?
I'd love a 7.
So, yeah, if you want to go to 7, we're more than happy to try and help.
Yeah, feel free to go buy points. How about that? go buy some points.
Offset some of that. I normally would ask you about professional sides, Dave, but clearly, you know, with these numbers being so volatile, it's just folks getting out ahead of the market. When can our listeners expect playoff opener? Same normal schedule, you know, first thing Monday or late Sunday night?
Nah, Sunday. Sunday they'll be up there. Once we know the seeding for the playoffs, they'll be up shortly thereafter. So, yeah, they'll be up there on Sunday and expect everything Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, soon as possible.
And, of course, for those Bet the Board listeners that may not be playing with Bet Online just yet but want to get involved for some of the biggest bowl games, and, of course, the fun 3-4 week tournament that is the National Football League playoffs, what kind of promos can they expect to shop?
All right. Well, if you do not have a Bet Online account yet, head over to betonline.ag and sign up. Use promo code 75BTB on your first ever deposit, and you'll score a 75% sportsbook bonus. Maximum bonus is all the way up to $1,000. If you already do have a BetOnline account, you've already played with us, but you're ready for a reload, use promo code 50BTB for a one-time 50% reload bonus in the sportsbook. And once again, the max bonus is $1,000 on that. All the terms and conditions can be found at promotions.betonline.ag/bettheboard. And by the way, our bad beat jackpot's like approaching $170,000 in the poker room. So if you play poker, go over there and get it.
Get on over there. Take full advantage. That's Dave Mason from Bet Online. Of course, you can follow Dave on Twitter at Dave Mason, B-O-L. And despite the rumors you hear throughout social media, he does not sleep on a bet of cash.
All right, fellas. Have a great weekend, all right?
Thanks, Dave. Have a happy and healthy new year. We'll look forward to talking some playoff football with you this time next week.
All right, fellas. Take care.
For all the struggles, Payne, that Dave's told us about during the course of the NFL season thus far, it's good to hear him in a little bit more upbeat type of mood when we talk about college football and this ridiculous run of underdogs we've seen thus far.
Underdogs are fun for sports books and sharp bettors. When they win outright, it's even better. This time of year, without question, when you're betting some of your underdogs, you definitely have to take a nibble on the money line. So depending on how much you like that position, you know, add on maybe another 15 to 30% on the money line, depending on how much you like the game.
And for folks who think these underdogs will continue to bite in college football, I caution you to proceed slowly to the next set of bowl games. Typically, we see motivation playing a major role early on with underdogs and a chip on their shoulder, whereas the cream often rises to the top. But for those folks looking for more college football information, you'll have to check out our Bowl Podcast with Clay Travis, again, available bettheboardpodcast.com. And if you're looking to find that tweet somewhere on our timeline, at bettheboardpod, the podcast Twitter feed. Payne, as we look at Week 17, we heard Mason talk about how these can be glorified preseason games. And I think it goes back to what we all know and believe. Reading this time of year probably more important than any other portion of the season than when we're going through the exhibition schedule. What are some of your philosophies and how you choose to personally attack the last week of the regular season?
You didn't like how I started the podcast with my reference? You probably touched on this from a smarter perspective, but yes, this is the same thought process of...
Yeah, I know, you throw out your power numbers, yeah, but I mean...
Throw out your power numbers, you do your reading here, this is all about motivation, and I'll say this, when you find games where teams aren't playing for much, maybe a few overs this week. Defense in general takes a little bit more effort, motivation. That linebacker that's playing for nothing, is he going to be willing to meet the fullback at the line of scrimmage head on? The cornerback, is he going to be willing to tangle up in the ground game? Probably not. And so you're probably going to see a couple of these games start to see some over money. We saw that with a game where two teams, perception, when you talk about Chicago and Minnesota, that opens 40. You're now out to a key of 41, blowing through that a little bit. I would expect to see some over money in that game.
Now, we know some books, as Dave said, I mean, most of these games are circled. You do have rebet functionality if you have an account at BetOnline, but limits are typically lower. Professionals more or less try and get down on some of these early numbers, take advantage of these prices that are going to move 5 to 7 points, look to play middles. Will they hold their ground? Or is it just kind of a week where you go, you know what, I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to identify some opportunity, but I'm not going to go batshit crazy like I might if other opportunities present themselves.
I know there's this perception out there, and it's been taught all wrong, that, you know, the sharpest of the sharp, the guys that are getting down all this massive money, the only time they are ever betting is on Sunday. That's it. Only time ever. And that used to be true, but the market's evolved. It's far more sophisticated now. And at some point, there became a mentality that some is better than none. And I'd rather get down at this certain number because I know it's never going to be there again. So I'm going to take some rather than get none on a game that I think there's an edge. To that point, a lot of the big money has not come in yet this week, as Mason alluded to. A lot of these games have been circled. There's a lot of positioning going on from, hey, I'm going to number grab to get some. But there's also some setup stuff going on. And a lot of this depends on what the coaches are saying. And when you read this week, it's key to read the right people, because you will have, and I'm sure we'll talk about this game in a little bit greater detail, but you have a guy like Ben McAdoo. He's come out and said all the right things. We're going to play our players and go win a football game. That's what we do for a living. And while that sounds nice, you have a Giants team that literally win, lose, or draw is the fifth seed. So while they may start, what's the snap count? And that's imperative this week, is gauging how many snaps these starters are going to actually play.
Well, you mentioned the Giants game, and we may as well start there. When we look to figure out exactly how to handle handicapping teams that have already clinched, lines have been adjusted. We, of course, have seen money come in initially on the Redskins, pushed it through the key number of 7. Money's come in on the Giants to take it right back to where it currently sits at BetOnline, with the Redskins a 7-point favorite, total of 45. You mentioned the Giants having nothing to play for. Washington, a win and they're in mentality by virtue of the Detroit Lions laying an egg in the second half against the Dallas Cowboys. We always talk about pressure bursting pipes, whether it's the NFL, whether it's college football, you name the sport, Payne. Do you feel like you have to pay a premium to back some of these teams in a must-win scenario? Or are we operating under the assumption, with the market sitting at 7, that the Giants are going to play their guys for 1, 2, 3 series max, and the Redskins can then race off to a comfortable lead and watch this thing snowball to double digits?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you talk about the Giants, everything that Ben McAdoo says claims that those guys are playing, so it would make sense to grab an inflated price as more information continues to leak out, and it will. It'll leak out come game day, you know, on how many quarters he, you know, is going to play his guys. Some of that information will be readily available at that point. One thing I will say in terms of the side here, at this juncture, I'm not doing anything with it, but what we have seen is just, and I know the market hasn't completely reflected it yet, it likely will, we have seen some sharp over money at 44 when you talk about the Washington Redskins and just what they do offensively and what they are as a team and what their games produce. 44 is a pretty low total, but again, that will play a role also. If suddenly Eli Manning gets announced out, you'll probably see some drastic under money, but at this current juncture, over is the side, you know, at 44.
This is going to sound like a dumb question because I feel like I'm underprepared. Who is the Giants' backup quarterback now that Ryan Nassib has been put on season-ending IR?
That's a good question.
Or Ryan Nassib, I should say.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know. So figured I'd throw that out there, but glad to see we're on the same page.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Giants. The Giants may look to try and move the ball up and down the field. As we said, Ian Rappaport on Thursday morning reporting, and you said the same thing, Ben McAdoo, we're going to play our players. That remains to be seen how long those guys are out there. A very different philosophy taking place with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who know they're locked into the 3 seed. They're benching their triplets. No Big Ben, no Le'Veon Bell, no Antonio Brown. And I have to think that's just the start of players that'll be on the sidelines watching this game against the suddenly resurgent Cleveland Browns. This is a number at BetOnline. You're looking Pittsburgh, a 6-point favorite, total of 43.5. Payne, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm guessing there's only one way to look, and it's backing the Browns, even when some of the value's been zapped from the number if you're going to tangle here.
Yeah. Well, just looking this up now, apparently Josh Johnson eager to shake off 5 years of backup rust. That's who would be, I guess, the Giants' backup quarterback. We know he can run the ball. But in terms of Cleveland-Pittsburgh, steady dose of Cleveland money. And this is going to be a game where it's going to be interesting to see. You would hope, and we didn't see it last week with the 49ers, that there would be some type of communication. Because, as you know, Todd, in football and relationships, communication is key. You would think
it definitely is key, especially if you want to be the good guy. Communication is always key.
You would think that your coach is safe at this point, that there's some type of talk internally that says, we would like the number one pick here. Let's keep us having the number one pick here. Can't believe that didn't go down in San Francisco last week with Chip Kelly. Like, once Cleveland had won, that they're just going all out to win this game. So stupid. But anyways, Pittsburgh...
Now to the Niners' credit, maybe they didn't think they were going to be able to execute that two-point conversion. That would have been a perfect time to go for two, drop the ball in the snap, and just fall on it.
You don't want me to go off on a tangent. Did you see the end of the two-point conversion?
You know what? To be honest, I watch snaps, not in as much as you do, of every game. I didn't watch a single snap of that Rams 49ers game. Not one.
Just go look at Kaepernick's celebration after the two-point conversion. Not going to touch on that here on this podcast, but...
Did he take a knee?
No.
Okay.
Threw up the black power.
I'm going to have to go look at this now.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the voice you want, if you're leading that charge, a two-win team, a guy who hasn't shown a sign that he can win. But I guess
that's not exactly coming from a position of strength. We'll leave it at that before we get in too deep a rant here.
The Browns, they are the sharp side. There is some soft seven still out there in the market. There is some 6.5. This is a hated rival. They would love to win this game. Pittsburgh clearly not playing for anything. We know of all the stars that are sitting from Le'Veon Bell, Big Ben, Antonio Brown. But I think there'll be, a contingent of line guys that are sitting out. Pouncey's been dealing with some nagging injuries. Probably smart to sit him as well. And you get a Cleveland team that's, hungry for some wins. This is a team that we know what the record is. They have not quit. Maybe there's a little sigh of relief after getting the victory last week. But so far, sharp money is on the dog.
And a game with a very different tenor to it between two division rivals. We've seen this number go all over the place, Payne. The Dallas Cowboys go on the road to Philadelphia. The Eagles right now a 3.5-point favorite at BetOnline. Total in this game, 43. We saw some books open Dallas a favorite and a pretty pronounced road favorite. The Cowboys have said a number of different things. Maybe they're going to play their starters in the first half. Jerry Jones going as far as saying, well, we still think Eric Dickerson's rookie rushing record is in reach for Ezekiel Elliott. That comment absolutely befuddled me, and I think it's ridiculous when you consider the workload given to Zeke last week against the Lions. If you're going to give him his touches, it was probably going to come there. But a young team looking to try and maintain some of that momentum will have a bye, and essentially if they sit all of their guys, could go 2.5 weeks without playing a meaningful football game. How do you begin to assess the handicap here, knowing on the other side that Philadelphia is nearly as healthy as they've been all season? Of course, Ryan Matthews dealing with a herniated disc in his neck requiring surgery, so they won't have that luxury of a ground-and-pound attack that they were able to utilize against the Giants.
Do we want to tell our listeners the truth as to why you're so passionate about this game?
Because I took a bad number on a win total and I got greedy. Sure, if we want to throw that out there, we can definitely do that.
Went under dick. 7 instead of
7.5. Fucking dick. Yeah, I went under 7. I took plus $1.25 to go under 7 instead of laying the price to go under 7.5. And of course, that'll naturally be something that could come back to bite me in the ass.
You're very passionate about this game. I'll say this, it got as high as 4. And then there's this small contingency. No one's, from my knowledge, has bet it yet, but there has been discussion of potentially looking Dallas early on in this game. They think they're going to start some of their guys just so they don't lose their form. We saw it last week. Now, I tweeted this out, strategic or stupid. It's one thing to...
That was a pretty good tweet, though, by the way. I saw that. I got a good laugh out of it.
It's one thing to start your guys to keep them in rhythm, knowing that you're going to have a bye week. And if you didn't play them last week against the Lions, that you could potentially be going a month without real live action. But having your starters in there with 7 minutes to go, up 21, doesn't make a lot of sense. I would hope someone says something to them this week, and I think they probably will. You'll see guys initially get a couple reps early on that game. It'll feel like a preseason approach. But then you're dealing with Mark Sanchez. Maybe a little revenge on his mind. Spoil the Philadelphia Eagles party there. That would be interesting to see. But I think overall a game that I am not playing with, and I think you might see some early potentially sharp Dallas money in that game.
Other teams to look at not playing or resting players. Side still looking to try and finalize their seeding. The Falcons, the Patriots, the Raiders, and Chiefs vying for the two spot and AFC West supremacy. How do we go about trying to handicap these teams where it looks, and I don't think I'm going on a limb, to say bookmakers have inflated every single one of these price tags given the situation?
Right. You're not going to find much value in any of those sides this week. I can tell you, when it comes to the New England-Miami game, Miami claims they're playing everybody. Now, they have a couple guys that are beat up and injured. We talked about that all season. But Adam Gase, he is not only confident, he borders on arrogant. And he claims that...
No wonder why you like the guy so much. It now finally makes sense.
Where you go in and you say to yourself, yes, the playoff game absolutely matters, but you want to set a tone within the division that you're no longer Bill Belichick's little bitch. And that's just the reality of what they're trying to do this week. They want to have the mentality that every game is meaningful. We don't quit. And that's what he's trying to instill in his team. So I would think 10.5 is probably a large number. That being said, this has always been, and I know Miami's won a couple of these games at home the last few seasons, believe 3 in a row at home. It's not a very good matchup because, A, we've talked about this, they can't stop the run. And that's kind of what New England's become here. They're not good guarding the linebacker or guarding the tight end, guarding the running back out of the backfield. That's what New England employs here. So it's a tough matchup from that perspective. Again, though, I don't think New England wants to put a ton on tape. So it could be a very conservative game plan there. Potentially some rain in the mix. So this is going to be an interesting game for me. I don't have a ton here. And as we've talked about, limits are extremely low right now. I have not bet anything this week at this point of significance. So this is week 17. This is what it is. This is why we didn't have a Monday podcast. The look-ahead lines weren't really out. All these games are still currently circled, extremely low limits. So there's not going to be a ton on this podcast. We're just going to try to help you navigate through the week.
Yeah, and one thing too, I mean, you brought it up with Matt Moore being a kind of a chuck and duck guy. I feel like the Patriots defense will have a perfect scheme for him. Don't give up the big play. Force Moore to be accurate on the underneath routes that he's really struggled with, at least through his first two starts.
That's what Matt Moore is. He is a gunslinger. It's why his defensive teammates were clamoring for him because they know what he did in practice. Defenses don't like to give up the big play. They feel threatened when they give up the big play. That's why they were kind of clamoring for Matt Moore all these years. They knew Ryan Tannehill couldn't provide it. Things have changed a little bit. But yes, this is what Matt Moore is. We saw what he is also right before the half. You could potentially go up two scores, kick the field goal, and he's taking a shot deep into the end zone that gets picked off and doesn't have a prayer. Comes out the second half, finds a couple deep balls. That's just kind of what he is. The intermediate throw really isn't his friend. If you look at some of the All-22 last week, he missed a lot of easy throws underneath. That's just not his strength. So you definitely want to get Matt Moore some reps in a game like this. Get him confident, even though he's a guy that really doesn't need confidence. Again, he's kind of California cool. He's a little bit arrogant himself. So to me, there's not a ton on this game, but I think at 10, 10.5, you'll see some guys, some professional guys number grabbing here a little bit. The interesting game to me, and it's seen a lot of moves back and forth, Buffalo and the Jets.
EJ Manuel, baby. EJ Manuel getting the nod under center.
Do you see anything there?
I mean, for me personally, this is a game that, I mean, 6 I thought was a big, big number for Buffalo to begin with. Have not done full extensive reading there on EJ. We know that Ryan Fitzpatrick will get the nod for the Jets. Rex Ryan being out. There's so many different ways to go.
That's
in this
so
particular handicap.
Do you think the relationship was a little bit strained there with the ownership that they weren't going to let him have his revenge game against the Jets? Like, that was the ultimate just kick in the nuts. Like, hey, bud, we're probably going to fire you at the end of the year, but we're not going to wait. We're not going to let you get revenge against your hated ex-team. Like, that was so funny to me.
And I think they realized that because what would have happened when he walked into that stadium at MetLife, he might have got a standing ovation and a round of applause. I think the better move would have been Buffalo announcing that Rex won't be back and his services wouldn't be retained for 2017, but is still allowing him to coach that particular game. What I can't wait to see is that if we get Rex Ryan in the booth for CBS, you know, alongside Bart Scott talking about that game. I feel like he's going to make a great studio guest, and we may see him as early as this Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not sure his ego allows him to be a defensive coordinator again. Maybe if he gets the itch, but he's going to make millions of dollars being a boisterous voice, you know, for CBS and the like. I'll say this, though. Looking at this game, the number is about right. EJ Manuel, probably about a three-point downgrade. I think I'm looking at this right now. 2.75 from Tyrod Taylor, to be exact. So he hasn't seen a game since Jacksonville a season ago. It's a favorable matchup. You look at this Jets secondary, again, just a mess. We've talked about this all year. 7.3 yards per pass attempt allowed. 49% of passes are graded successful against this Jets secondary. And this is interesting, though. There is a little motivation from that perspective, because I think Buffalo loves Anthony Lynn. They're going to try to get him hired. And for EJ Manuel, an individual achievement here. Money makes men do some weird things. He's a free agent. Teams are desperate for a competent QB. I'm not saying Manuel is that, but he is a team guy.
Wait a second. I know he's a Florida State guy, but competent quarterback. Let's slow the roll here with EJ Manuel and competent quarterback.
I think I'm the only person that didn't like EJ Manuel. I kind of said that on this podcast after he took that sack in the NC State game, where it's like they're lining up for a field goal for a win, and he takes a 17-yard sack that knocks them out of field goal range to win a game at NC State as a fifth-year senior. He wasn't your guy. If the Bills hired me as a consultant, I would have saved them millions upon millions. But the reality is, suddenly you show up well here for a game, and you're going to fool some people that you've progressed, you know, against a bad secondary and a team that's shown some quit. Suddenly you can find yourself making $3-4 million annually, holding a clipboard and being an insurance policy. So this is a big game for EJ Manuel.
You've seen this total tick down from 45 to 42. Do we think we'll see some over money there?
The Bills' defense is a mess. The Jets' defense is a mess. I think this is perception-based for sure. You're going to have to check the injury report. You're looking at a Jets team where most of their offense has come the way of Bilal Powell. He is not practiced. He's dealing with a knee injury. Forte's dealing with a knee injury. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He likes chuck to, and duck, baby.
He likes
chuck
to chuck
and duck
it a little bit. So it will be interesting to see where this goes. The weather looks clear. Again, December in New York. It's shorts weather right now. It's 45 degrees, so no weather impacting this one.
A far cry from what Week 17 between these two teams meant a season ago when they met up in Orchard Park, New York, with the Bills spoiling the Jets' playoff bid. A couple other divisional rivals, Payne. I just wanted to get your take real quick if anything jumped off the page. Saints-Falcons, you're looking at the Saints, a full touchdown underdog in Atlanta. Largest total of the NFL season at 56.5 right now at BetOnline. Kansas City, we've seen that number leak out for their trip to San Diego. A now 5.5-point favorite, lay $1.15, total of 45 for Phillip Rivers' final game. Maybe San Diego's final home game ever. And, of course, Oakland-Denver, this number has gone a number of directions. Currently looking at the Broncos, a 1-point favorite, lay $1.15 at BetOnline, total at 40.5. Oakland, the one playoff team that has actually caught a little bit of money, surprisingly enough, here.
Yeah, New Orleans, Atlanta, we'll start there. Is that the highest total open of the year?
I believe 56.5.
56, yep. So that's the highest there. Still not sure it's high enough. That feels like a fun game to me. There will be, from what I'm hearing, potentially, some sharp money on New Orleans at some point. Atlanta, obviously, it's a big game for them. If they win it, kind of, you know, get your buy. That would be big. And mostly, you know, aside from one team, you'd have some home playoff advantages throughout the course of the playoffs there. So it is still meaningful for Atlanta, but this New Orleans team, they can hang some points in a situation like this on a fast track. So I think there'll be a lot of points scored in that one. Kansas City, San Diego. You saw some of the player comments in the Oakland game when they were hosting Oakland. It was all Oakland. Some of the players seem a little ticked off about that. And there's some of them come out and said, "Hey, if you don't want us here, we'll get the hell out of here." So I'm not sure it has that same feeling as it did a year ago, where we want to win one for the fans in our last home game of the season. So that'll be an interesting one. Not a great matchup either. Kansas City usually has some success from a schematic standpoint there. At what number do I get involved? I mean, maybe 7, gun to my head. I got to play San Diego at that point. But right now, nothing for me on Kansas City.
revenge from week one. I mean, the game that really started this Chargers season off on the wrong foot, blowing that late lead in the fourth quarter at Arrowhead.
Seven. Everyone likes this saying, apparently. Seven maybe gets me to the party.
six I'm not buying, but seven it might get me to the party, and that party could have perks.
Yes, there's six out there already if you're shopping around smartly. Seven may get me there. Seven on the buy minus 15 probably gets me there too. So nothing right now in that game. Oakland-Denver, again, Matt McGloin's biggest fan here. Huge Matt McGloin guy.
Here we go.
Has been some money on that side. I don't have a ton here. You know, Denver season's about over. It is over at this point. There wasn't much of a game effort from them last week. I was shocked to see that.
There was zero fight, in my opinion, last week in Kansas City.
Zero fight whatsoever. But they did have a lot of injuries. We talked about this team. They can't stop the run. All of a sudden, you took more out of the middle of that defense in terms of losing Marshall as your middle linebacker, losing TJ Ward as your middle safety. So there just wasn't much up the middle in that game for Denver. We've talked about this, and this is kind of why you've seen regression from teams that win the Super Bowl. There's just not as much intensity effort there. This was a team that was going to be led by defense all season. That requires energy and effort. We just didn't see it on that side of the ball. I don't have anything here at the current price. Obviously, some guys number grabbed 3.5. Nothing for me at this number.
I mean, Peyton, that's what makes what we do here every week and most weeks twice a week on Bet the Board. We bring a Super Bowl-like effort, even if we were Super Bowl champions looking for that three-peat.
Yeah, this podcast is just tough right now when you talk about where limits are, when you talk about information still being acquired. This is a tough week, especially right now as we record early Thursday morning.
All right, let's end this on a fun note before we get to the one meaningful game where, as Dave Mason said, they're taking full limits because we know exactly what the implications are on Sunday night. When we convene again next Thursday, how many coaches will have been fired on Monday morning? I mean, if I'm going up and down the board, the two obvious names, Jeff Fisher and Rex Ryan, they're already out. How many more coaches are we talking about looking to try and find a paycheck with a new zip code?
I think people are going to be surprised. There's not going to be very many. I think if you had to set the over-under, you're setting it at 1.5.
That's a number. I've seen much larger numbers offshore, and I was absolutely shocked. I mean, that was a number that I thought was more in line. If I were to go team by team, Bill O'Brien going to be retained, Mike Mularkey retained, Buffalo and the Jets, well, Buffalo already fired.
Yep.
Todd Bowles, is he in or out?
He's in.
He's in.
He's in. They won 10 games last year. This is his second season. You've had some quarterback issues there. I think they'll probably be loyal to him.
Harbaugh's back. Marvin Lewis back. McAdoo for the Giants back. Gruden back for the Redskins. We look at McCarthy at Green Bay. He's back. Caldwell in Detroit. He's back. Jacksonville, well, they already fired Gus Bradley, so no coach firing there. Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis.
He's got to stay, I would think. If you go 8-8, they're a plus 15 in differential.
That one's tougher for me.
You have to find a new GM. You have to find somebody you can draft. That roster, we've talked about this all year. That roster is the
terrible.
Worst roster in the NFL. The worst. And he can potentially go 8-8. Now, again, I know it's the AFC South, not very good. That is the worst roster in all of football. If you removed Andrew Luck from it, and we try not to, like, you know, we talk about low win totals, sharp guys essentially ingrained. If it's, you know, 4.5, 5, you're looking over. This is a win total that would legitimately be set at like 2.5. There is nothing on this roster. It is the worst roster in the NFL. It's been the worst roster in the NFL for a few years now. So if you can go 8-8 with that roster.
Well, that's why I ask. I mean,
I don't know. Maybe
it's a package deal. Pagano and Grigson are both gone.
Yeah, maybe you give them the package boot and you just start fresh. That's a possibility. But then you look at Andrew Luck. You're gonna do a 2.5 year rebuild around him. I think they're in a very nice position. I will say this, because Andrew Luck is so good, and you can go potentially 8-8 this year with that mess around him. You can kind of implement some new parts via the draft, via free agency. Hopefully, you're not spending big bucks on like 35-year-old defensive guys. That's typically what they've done in the past. But you can slowly build that. Because he's so good that you can have a below average roster and make some noise.
Yeah, and he'll mask a lot of those deficiencies.
And so it doesn't need to be a complete overhaul.
Well, two teams that won't get an overhaul, Dallas
and
Philadelphia.
San Francisco, is he gone? Is Chip gone in San Francisco?
I think Chip is one of those guys. If I was handicapping this thing, he would definitely have to be on that top of the list. But I figure we may as well go through. You know,
so most it's one and a half. One and a half is a good number.
I think Mike McCoy's gone in San Diego.
Okay. So it's now potentially... Mike McCoy is probably the likeliest candidate. So now you're looking at potentially Chip.
So I think Mike McCoy, if I'm making a list, Mike McCoy and Chip are up there. I think John Fox is interesting in Chicago, but I think the way they finish, he retains his job. Carolina and Tampa, they'll both retain their coaches, although if Cam has a true divide with Ron Rivera, who knows how things go there. New Orleans, they're not firing Sean Payton. We know Dan Quinn will be back. New England, Miami, status quo. Arizona, LA, status quo. Kansas City. So I think, I think
what
those
number
probably,
are you seeing in the market?
The number I saw, I almost fell over. I saw five. And I thought, I don't like to criticize bookmakers. I know it's not a high limit prop. I thought that was one of the worst numbers I had seen because five is the number I would have set before Gus Bradley, Fisher, and Rex had been fired.
And so that number now is fresh after all those guys have been canned.
Yeah, I saw that number.
I don't know where it is, and we're not going to say where it is unless it was at BetOnline. But
well, they're not. I mean, the book that posted isn't going to take our bets anyways.
No, but maybe our listeners.
Yeah, true. That's a good point. If they can shop around, you can find it.
If you see under five, yes.
Yeah, lay that price. I mean, you do have to lay some juice, and I know sometimes recreational bettors don't like to lay a price. Five, I think, is stealing, and you never like to say something is a guarantee, but going under five, I would lay almost whatever price they would allow me to.
Yeah, that's a bad number.
I mean, as we look through and kind of lay all that stuff out. So, look, we found a way to give you a winner, so if you can find that particular shop, we won't drop its name on this podcast, quietly walk to the window, place whatever wager you can, go under five. I think you'll handsomely be able to cash that particular number. As we look at the game of the week, the big game breakdown brought to you courtesy of the American Gaming Association. You can see all the great work they're doing for ongoing legalization efforts here in the States and throughout Canada, I believe. AmericanGaming.org, Twitter handle at Amer, A-M-E-R, Gaming, G-A-M-I-N-G-A-S-S-N. It is the mission of the AGA to be the single most effective champion of the industry, relentlessly protecting against harmful and often misinformed public policies and paving a path for growth, innovation, and reinvestment. You can sign up for their newsletter, americangaming.org/about/contact. I know we spoke to Jeff Freeman, plenty of major initiatives on the horizon for calendar year 2017. Payne, Packers and Lions, the final game of the regular season will be the book's biggest decision of week 17. Green Bay right now at BetOnline, a 3.5-point favorite, lay $1.05 on the chalk. Total here been bet up out to 49.5. Look ahead line for this particular game had Green Bay listed -1. The Packers, the hottest team in the league right now. The Lions limping to the finish. Like, first question on the tip of my tongue, is there value here in the Detroit Lions with an inflated number?
I would wait. I think there will be value, but I think you'll wait a little bit here. I think this is going to be a game where the public has their say. It sounded like it's going to be a game that has the handle that's very similar. I'm not going to say Super Bowl handle because that'd be ridiculous, but potentially could be the largest decision for a lot of sports books that they've ever had. I will get that information from Dave Mason at BetOnline, but I feel like that's what we could be looking at here, that this game has probably more handle than they've ever done on an NFL game. When you break this down a little
bit. NFL regular season.
Yes, NFL regular season game.
Yeah.
Two extra days to prepare for Green Bay. That's big. We know things are starting to roll the right way for Green Bay offensively. Won five straight, covered four of those. It looks like Mike McCarthy, and he's been looking for this from his franchise quarterback, he's making quicker reads, Aaron Rodgers. He's playing within the offense. He's not improvising as much. And you look at this, I'm looking at this right now. Over the last five wins, 53% of the pass plays have been graded out as successful for this offense. They're gaining roughly 1.5 more yards per play over this five-game win streak offensively. Think about that. Every three downs, your offense is gaining 4.5 yards more. Don't need to be a rocket scientist here. You only need 10 for a first down. So that's pretty massive. And I think it's not just Aaron Rodgers. You look at Jordy Nelson. He's now healthy, but he has the confidence in his knee A lot of knee injuries. It's a mental hurdle. He's gotten past that. You now have a two tailback system. Montgomery, he's running well, but he's also a nightmare matchup as a former receiver on a linebacker and a safety. Christian Michael, they pull off the scrap heap. He's giving a little bit more of that physical running attack. That's going to be the key in this game because I think you're going to have to outscore the Lions. Defensively, they are getting healthier, but they still have issues. Look at what Matt Barkley and Sam Bradford have done the last 2 weeks to that defense. Matt Barkley completed 70% of his passes, threw for 360, eight and a half yards per pass attempt. Sam Bradford follows that up 380 yards, completes 68% of his passes, and goes for 7.6 yards per pass attempt. So still some struggles for that Green Bay defense.
And you mentioned injuries. Of course, Detroit dealing with a couple of their own. Theo Riddick, we haven't seen him out on the field to give Matthew Stafford his security blanket underneath and his check down receiver. And of course, their top cover corner, a guy that you said at the end of last season, and I kind of laughed at you, you had one of the top corners in the league, and I think everybody else is starting to take notice. Darius Slay still dealing with a hamstring injury.
Probably the most important player on their defense. They literally have nothing in the secondary past Darius Slay. He's going to get big money somewhere because he's fantastic. He was limited this week, so that's at least a decent sign that he was out there. Wasn't out there at all last week, was limited yesterday in practice. DeAndre Levy was limited yesterday in practice. Riddick did not practice at all yesterday, I was told. And there might have been a minor setback with the wrist because last week he practiced it on a limited basis. And then I got a note that said, we're out here for the Christmas Eve little walkthrough in Dallas, and there's no sign of Theo Riddick. He didn't travel. So there must have been a slight setback with him last week.
And we didn't even know, to be honest. I mean, we talked about this, and I've talked to some of the other guys out there as well. We didn't even know it was a wrist injury up until last week.
Yeah, they kind of had kept that under the wraps. It feels like there's some ligament damage there, so not quite sure what you know his status is going to be. Thursday and Friday, obviously, are the key days. If he can practice a little bit there, he might have a chance. But right now, did not practice at all yesterday.
What do we take away from some of Matthew Stafford's struggles in the bright lights? You look at his record in prime time and in the playoffs. 3-12 during his career, more interceptions than touchdowns. I don't want to put the onus on him for the second half effort Monday night against the Dallas Cowboys, but clearly wasn't a ringing endorsement when Detroit could have eliminated this win or in mentality on Sunday against the Packers had they put forth a better effort and been able to steal one against the Cowboys. And then on the flip side, you look at Green Bay. This is a team that, for whatever reason, has historically struggled on the road in dome games. You don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill with either of those examples, but how do those factor into the handicap and the potential equation here?
I'm not sure Matthew Stafford's primetime struggles really matter. You know, it's not anything that we're looking at that we're not going to factor that in. I think more so you're still kind of looking at the finger injury. He started to float a few balls. A lot of their success in that first half was because they got Zenner going on the ground. Shocking. Rod Marinelli, what he said at halftime, I don't know, to inspire a defense that was literally playing for nothing, but they came out in the second half with their hair on fire. They started stopping that run, made the Lions very one-dimensional. Marvin Jones, good God. That guy couldn't get open.
Do I really have to talk about Marvin Jones?
That looks like a bad deal.
Ooh. Given that performance that my fantasy team put forth in the most important game of the season last week between Jarvis Landry, Malcolm Mitchell, and Marvin Jones, my Lord. Now all of a sudden, it's funny that we talked about Marvin Jones and how important he could be to that Lions offense with his hot start right out of the gates when he led the league in receiving. Now we're talking about, as you mentioned, maybe being an awful deal and the Cincinnati Bengals clearly winning that particular end of things.
The film is out on old Marvin Jones. That guy couldn't break press coverage if his life depended on it. So that's what he's seeing a lot of. He's having trouble getting open. So probably not your true number one. We'll see. Probably will work on his stuff in the offseason. He is a guy that works a lot. So hopefully he can get that ship righted. But right now, they don't have a true number one. You look at this team. I don't love their head coach. They've trailed in 14 of 15 games now in the fourth quarter. So this is a team that's, Detroit fans are going to crucify me for this, but they're not very good. That's just the reality of the situation. You don't have a good head coach. There's not a lot of talent there. You're looking at this team overall, they're -5 in point differential on the entire season. But I think this might be a spot where you show up a little bit. I really do. I have a feeling we're going to be plugging our nose and going to the window here. Hopefully we can get a four come Sunday night. But that's what I'll be looking for.
I'm hoping for a 4.5 at some of the more recreational-oriented shops out here in the desert. And I'll leave you with this, Payne. When we talk about the Colts and their roster, what Andrew Luck does, safe to assume that Detroit has played well above their skis, given point differential, yards, and everything else. And I'm not going to tip our hand for a season preview, but I'd have to imagine the Detroit Lions, pending their schedule, may be a prime candidate for us to go under their win total.
Yeah, and that's kind of one thing I'm not sure the audience knows, obviously. You know, the whole scheme of the NFL is parity. You know, you finish horrible, you get the first pick, you get a lighter schedule. You finish well, you get a little bit easier schedule built in there. So that was, we saw a very soft schedule to start the season for the Detroit Lions. They got a bunch of wins, but also Chicago Bears took a step back. They get their starting quarterback injured, a slew of injuries on defense. It is the NFL. Shit happens. You deal with it. But the Vikings catch a huge blow. To start their season with, you know, Bridgewater going down, you get AP injured. Green Bay had that midseason lull. So, you know, not to take anything away from the Lions, but I don't like the roster. I don't like their head coach. And I think a lot of people have constantly shit on Matt Stafford. I thought he delivered, like, he was extremely valuable to his team. Now, I know he's not going to be considered for it, but you go and win this game, you get 10 wins, you win your division. There might not have been a more valuable player to his team this season.
Oh, I think you're 100% right and spot on with that analysis. And you take Stafford off that roster, you know, who knows what the Lions are doing. The fact that he gritted through some of those fourth quarter comebacks, had to try and figure out life after Calvin Johnson. And maybe that benefited him. He was able to spread the ball around a little bit more instead of trying to force it in there. But the lack of a running game, the absence of Theo Riddick has really slowed down some of the Lions' potential. And we know that they're not a team that can win a lot of 13-10 football games. Stafford's going to have to go out there. And I think, in my opinion, Payne, for them to win this game on Sunday against the Packers, I know we've seen some money come in on the over. I think ultimately you see some under money coming in, given the magnitude of that game. I think the Lions have to score 28 points if they're going to keep Aaron Rodgers out of the postseason.
Yeah. Yeah, I would probably agree with that. That's why right now there has been sharp over money into the market on this. I would think there is the old school thought process from another group that probably waits till the very last moment and goes under here. You're not going to see, and Jesus, I say this now, it's pretty opinionated. I would be stunned if you see this get to the key of 51, but expect some really heavy under money if it got to 51.
Yeah, this feels like a similar scenario that we talk about all the time in Game 7s, whether it's Major League Baseball, whether it's the NBA, whether it's the NHL. You're going to put the emphasis on defense. You're not going to look to try and make that big mistake early and cost yourself a potential victory by going out there and doing things too crazy outside of your comfort zone. Last year between the Packers and Vikings, I mean, that game didn't sniff the total, albeit Detroit nowhere near as formidable on the defensive side as the Lions.
Yeah, and I think, you know, all the metrics are fine and all the metrics are going to point over here. But you get a Green Bay team that's starting to run the ball a little bit more. If you have success there, that's always the funny thing when you gauge these totals. It's like, you know, you don't want an offense to be multiple and get in rhythm. But suddenly, if you're betting an under, hey, you don't mind that 3-4 yard run. Keeps the clock ticking. They're going to feel they're successful doing it. We're going to start employing that ground game a little bit more. And you get a Matthew Stafford, you know, still a little bit banged up with the finger, not 100% there. And they are getting some weapons back on defense. Kind of this resurgence has been Matthew Stafford, has been the offense, but they're starting to get some pieces back on defense where they were playing, you know, a little bit healthier. DeAndre Levy came back a little bit. He's going to be a key cog this week. You're going to have to monitor that. Ansa came back. Very good off the edge. Darius Slay, you're going to have to monitor that. So they had nice pieces when healthy at each level of the defense when you talk Ansa, Levy, and Slay. So that's going to be something you definitely want to monitor. I certainly am going to want Slay to play in a game like this if I'm backing Detroit. So that's something I am going to be monitoring here. If Slay goes, if Levy goes, and I can get 4, probably something I'm going to be interested in.
As we've said, this may be the biggest book decision of the entire NFL regular season. So for all those contrarians out there listening, looking for an angle, wait this game out as long as possible. You may be able to grab 4, not really sure which books you're playing at and how high that number may climb to take full advantage of an overreaction in the market for a game that a lot of prominent shops had as a look-ahead number. Green Bay, a modest 1-point road favorite, to see this number balloon through key numbers up a full field goal. There is a little bit of value-seeking opportunity. Payne, I feel like we made chicken salad out of chicken shit here for Week 17. Not, of course, any ringing endorsement to walk, run to the window for investment opportunities, but we know we'll find something delicious for our listeners to bite off when it comes to the NFL playoffs.
Yeah, a few things. Just kind of going back to the game. Green Bay, Detroit. And our listeners will hear me, and I'll say this all the time, and I say it, been saying it since we started this. Each game's its own entity, and you have to treat it as such. But if you're someone that... you don't want to develop bad habits, here is my point. So if you are literally at this stage in the game laying Green Bay, it's going to develop a bad habit. You are not going to win money long-term betting Green Bay in a spot like this. Just not going to happen. Not at 3.5. So for me, if you know you need action, I'd stay off this game completely. If some of those things don't transpire and develop like Slay and Levy playing and you're able to get a 4. Again, we treat each game individually, but you are not going to make money long-term betting Green Bay at 3.5 in this spot. Just not going
to
do it.
And full disclosure to kind of show how things oftentimes come full circle. Bet the Packers to win the NFC North before the year myself, paying late $1.75. Lo and behold, it's a one-game scenario that just happens to be right about where the money line is with the Green Bay Packers.
So you're going to middle that, obviously. You're going
to
be
waiting. Yeah, I'll look to take the middle. I don't think I want to be sitting out there with that particular number. Would love for, like we said, the number to get to 4, take 4 with the Lions, hope the Packers win by a field goal, get the best of both worlds, walk out a little risk-free wagering, and move on to greener pastures in the new year. Any lasting parting shots, advice for our listeners as they celebrate the end of 2016, ringing in 2017? Any, you know, New Year's stories that you have that you want to share?
I just say go Tito's Vodka, and it's not looking for a sponsorship, but we did this. I had some folks over for Christmas, and we did like this vodka lineup, and we did like these 100 rated vodkas. They taste fantastic.
Here we go. Vodka blind taste test.
Exactly what we did. We lined up 4 vodkas, did a blind taste test, graded them. And for the blind taste test, where you literally are just taking the shot of vodka and kind of swishing it around your mouth like you would wine, Tito's, I think, came like 3 out of 4.
Well, do you mind me asking what the 4 that you lined up?
No, not yet. They're like expensive-ass vodkas, like 100 graded vodkas, like multiple hundreds of dollars a bottle.
Look at that. Look at you over there really pushing for that Tito sponsorship. But what I'm going to say
to you is there was one that tasted fantastic.
Yeah.
So I started drinking that a little bit the rest of the night. Ugh, yeah. Was the next morning tough. Felt like I had been run over by a bulldozer. And this is the one thing. Tito's hangs with the best of them in that. You're going to be able to just drink the piss out of Tito's, wake up the next morning and just ready to fire bowl games and whatever games. Like, you're not going to be like at our age where the hangover lasts like 2 or 3 days. Tito's gets you right back going.
The bigger question is then, knowing that New Year's falls on a Saturday and we have NFL Week 17 coming up on Sunday, I mean, how aggressive can we really get going after it?
Oh, the Tito's, you could probably do at least half a handle yourself.
I mean, trust me, I'm sure a lot of our listeners would love to see you on Periscope if you can pull an all-nighter and go through a full NFL Sunday. If you go on a binge down there in South Beach, you find yourself some nice co-eds in the age range of what, 22 to 25, right in your wheelhouse?
Young and dumb is not necessarily a bad thing.
Oh, the good old days, youth best wasted, or most, well, I don't even know what the expression is, most wasted on the young. I'm going to butcher it. And before things get too far off the rails and the tracks, we want to wish all of our Bet the Board listeners a happy and healthy new year. We can't thank you guys enough for another tremendous regular season, the amount of support you guys have shown. Buying gear, if you haven't already bought a t-shirt, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out there. Supplies are limited in terms of what we have, trying to sell off the entire inventory before we get to the postseason special gift as well. So for Payne Insider, you can follow him on Twitter at Payne Insider. You can follow our Thursday contributor, Dave Mason, at Dave Mason BOL. I'm Todd Furman. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Todd Furman. And of course, the Bet the Board podcast at Bet the Board. Check out all of our great work, not only for the NFL, but also the college football bowl betting bonanza, bettheboardpodcast.com. Again, happy and healthy new year. We'll be right back with you next Thursday. Schedule adjustment for the playoffs every Thursday here on out until we crown a Super Bowl champion down there in Houston in early February. In the meantime, best of luck, and we'll see you at the window.